Otis and Carla on BBC Six Music with Tramp. You're with Lauren Laverne, and I am thrilled to say I'm still in the live room with James. We're still talking about crazy landscapes and where you live, Tim. So you're out in Topanga Canyon.
Yes.
And I mean, we talked a little bit about that last time, but is that, are there many similarities between, you know, where we were just talking about where you were working up in the Scottish Highlands? And
I mean, you know, you've been talking about the kind of the danger and we talked about the lunar aspect of Scotland. Topanga's like, it's a national park. It's the biggest national park in a city. It's just dry. I mean, we get about 8 days of rain, torrential rain when it comes. We had lightning the other day that like literally, and thunder that shook the house when it comes, but hardly any rain. We've got wild animals. Like friends had a mountain lion in their back garden about two weeks ago. And my mate went out with a broomstick to try and scare it off. So
a
that
mountain
it didn't
lion?
Feel...
How much like an actual lion is that?
It's like a it's a lion. It's a lion. They've eaten all our friends' goats. Our friends had all these goats, and it took the goats, and then it took some more goats. So it's in the area prowling at the moment. And the cats, the coyotes took the cats, and owls. The owls are so big. Like a friend of ours had two poodles, and two owls flew down, synchronized, and took a poodle each.
No, they didn't.
And flew off.
They what?
And that was the end of the poodles.
A poodle each.
A poodle each, and they synchronized it. I mean, I didn't know owls worked as a pack. I mean, it was so
that'll good. Teach you for having a poodle, though, won't it?
I've seen seagulls in Sunderland do that with bags of chips, but that is some next level.
You have seen that in Hull action as well, but not in, yeah.
The synchronised seagulls.
Oh, my goodness. So we've just had a message in. People have been getting in touch about the first half of the session, really loving it. And we've had a message from Luke Insect in Prestwich. He says, James sounded great this beautiful morning. Just wanted to say hi to the boys. I designed their new album sleeve artwork.
He did indeed. Getting a good plug in there, Luke.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on board.
Is the rest of that, and I still haven't been paid?
He doesn't mention that, no. Not even a PS. Merely a polite smiley emoji.
He did both of ours, and he's done great for us. We're really happy with it. It's got that kind of almost Pink Floyd enigmatic. What is that?
Yeah, yeah.
What's she looking at? What is the girl at the end of the world? Is it optimistic? Is she looking at something positive, or is it a piece of technology? Is it, you know, something, a portal or what? And we like that.
So I like, and I love this idea that you're kind of still on the edge all these records later. And with this new tour coming up, I mean, it sounds like playing live and being in the room together is obviously very important for your creative process.
So. And mental instability. That's really important, I think.
Really?
Oh, definitely, yeah.
What, you've got to...
Well, you're saying still on the edge.
Yeah,
you know,
you've got to stay on the edge in that sense.
You've got to plumb yourself, don't you? You've got to mine yourself at some level.
Well, I mean, our tours are... you know, we don't play the same set necessarily every night. So gig by gig, we change things around. So for a lot of bands, like, you know, weeks of rehearsal, and I'm not slagging them off for it. That's what they do. That's the way they present themselves. That's cool. But for us, it's very much more like we don't really rehearse, and then we go on stage and we play what we want to play. And hopefully, again, it's that process. We're doing it for ourselves, you know. And I guess that's also probably one reason why people keep coming back to see us, which is, you know, they don't quite know what it is that they're going to get. You know,
so I suppose nobody knows what to expect from the
well,
two.
We certainly
yet,
don't.
Not
we will be arguing until we go on stage at the first gig about what we're going to play, and then that process will continue night after night after night. And, you know, that creates a certain amount of tension between us, which we also take on the stage. And I think that's also very healthy as well. You know, but
really,
we do take the audience into consideration at that point. That point is definitely more of a, you know, but we're trying not to be. We don't want to, it's not about pleasing, it's about finding the right balance between us feeling like we're artists and not just a cabaret or a fake band doing James covers. You know, it's how do you keep the songs fresh? So we have to rest songs, like songs get dropped for years, you know, sometimes to be rested. You know, Sit Down we dropped and Laid we dropped for a while and Had to Get You. And they have to be, because otherwise we just feel like we're going through the motions and that's cheating the audience.
It's a funny thing, isn't it? Because I would have thought when you've been together as long as you guys have and had so much success, like your songs in a way, you know, they become not just a part of people's lives, like, oh, I listened to that track and I remember when, but very, very literally woven into the fabric of people's lives. I mean, I would be amazed if you hadn't had, you know, children named named after your songs, and people kind of coming to see you who've grown up with your music. And I mean, how is that experience for you, apart from wonderful? Is there something that can kind of be a bit of a pressure about that people, no, you know, your music belongs to them in a way?
It's wonderful. I mean, when we write a song, it's our process, and that feels like it's us. And once we release it, you let go of it, and it's there to entwine in other people's lives. And it's amazing. I mean, the things we get written and the things that get told to us, and you know that, like, with, and it's kind of more exciting for us with the newer material in some degree, because obviously we got that media attention in the 90s, and now it, you know, except for, you know, yourselves, which are, you know, with your John Peel ethos of no ageism, we can't really have that to some degree. But like, I went to the top of Machu Picchu on holiday in Peru, and people were singing us songs we'd written 4 or 5 years ago at the top of Machu Picchu.
Wow.
Peruvians were. And so that, you get really touched by that, obscure songs. And then Moving On has become, we didn't realise it, but it's become a song that people play at funerals, or that people use to console themselves when they lose someone. Mm-hmm. And that video gets played in, we've been told, in hospices, particularly for dying children, who ask, what is death, you know? And so, it's like, wow, it makes you feel you're doing something that helps, you know? And that's, in the end, what this is about for us. That's why I think we're more uplifting. I mean, you know, we came from a more punk background, you know, Jimmy Loves the Fall and I Love Diggy, and we, you know, and we've all got different angst music, but somehow together we want to uplift people. We want, because life's tough enough as it is. Mm-hmm. And so even when we go dark, there's always that little kind of like, but in the darkness, and that's really important to us, you know. Yeah, that's really important to
us.
Well,
I think it's funny, because earlier today we had Ben Wheatley on the show and talking about his new film High Rise, which is a J.G. Ballard adaptation. So we did this dystopian playlist today earlier on, and we're doing Utopia next week. And I thought, oh, you know, I hope it's not going to be kind of a downer. And in a weird way, it wasn't. It was really uplifting. And I was thinking, why is that? And I think there's something about when you hear people articulating ideas that are unusual and maybe uncomfortable, and maybe things, you know, thoughts that you haven't heard other people say out loud. There's something really powerful about that, isn't there?
That's the job of the artist, isn't it? To go into the unconscious before the culture does, and hopefully bring back something that's on the edge of the culture, where people go, oh yes, that's coming, or that's here, or that's in the atmosphere. There's a strange thing about dystopia, though, which I do feel, which is we almost have a death wish for an apocalypse. There's almost, you can feel that everyone's waiting for the flood at some level. I don't know whether it's some kind of racial collective memory of some wipeout that's happened in the past or whatever, but you can see every 4 or 5 years people are waiting for the end of the world. You know, at the moment it's embodied in Donald Trump, I think, in a certain kind of way.
I was going to say, I wonder if you have a different perspective on that, you know, living in America at the moment, Tim.
Yeah, I mean, moving to America made me more political than I was in England, because it's so much more of a mess over there. There's no democracy, it's a corporocracy. All those politicians are bought, and they have to be bought. The only way they can get into power is to be funded by corporations, you know, Hillary included. And so there's no democracy there. It's a complete sellout. And Trump is clearly a terrifying, buffoonish cartoon figure. I kind of want him to win the Republican nomination, because I think it will blow up the Republicans. And I also think Hillary will beat him. But it's a risky gamble, because clearly he's a lunatic. Of
Tim Booth bringing some strong thoughts to BBC Six Music, all of his own, of course, not the views of the BBC, but very interesting to hear.
Sorry about that.
Thank you.
No, is that to prevent you being sued?
Bringing your perspective, which is always very, very welcome. Back to the music, though.
Uh-oh. I'm on my own now, and I'm going to get sued by Donald Trump.
You're going to have Donald on one side and Brian on the other side.
I'm thinking, and then you've got that lion as well that you were talking about coming after you. It's got That's got interesting hair, but I'll leave that there. You've got one more track to play for us, guys. What's it going to be, Tim, what we're going to hear next? And can you tell us anything about the song before we hear it? Because this is going to be one that we haven't had the chance to play on Six already, I think.
This will be a single, and there's a beautiful video being made right now, an animation. It's called Dear John, and Dear John letters in the war were when you got a letter from your girlfriend at the front telling you that she'd left you. And this is kind of about, split. But it's, you know, you see nowadays people split. They don't have the courage to face people necessarily. They send a text or an email or whatever. And this is about that.
Okay, let's hear it. This is James live on BBC Six Music.